schedule for a long time. We'll have a very fruitful, conversation with you. The people of Ladies have to have a broad discussion around the issue of sponsorship in sport. And the other issues, of course, that are raised everywhere about the whole issue of the industry. But our interest really is just to discuss the general sponsorship in sport. And because, as far as we know, there's no bill anywhere in Parliament that is dealing with that kind of aspect in sport. Therefore, we don't want to discuss that because there's no bill in Parliament that deals with the ban on sport, what is alcohol aspect in sport. As we are here now, we don't have a bill that says that. Therefore, we are not discussing that. In fact, it's very important for us that we say that. And then the committee that will deal with that will be other committees of Parliament. We are meeting with stakeholders and then colleagues and friends who are assisting us in terms of the sport development and also the role that they assist us in communities in terms of sport, in terms of recreation. That is really what we are trying to address. And then, because I wouldn't want us then when we go out here in a forum, we go out as if we're discussing something that is not in Parliament. We'll only discuss things that once are in Parliament. At this point in time, there's nothing in Parliament like ban on advert on sport. Therefore, our discussion today is about the role the industry is playing in development and promotion of sport in our country. That is the main purpose why we wanted to have a discussion. Because we are very important stakeholders in terms of sport, in terms of development of sport, in terms of promotion, but also in terms really of developing young players wherever they are. We are not discussing anything except that. And because I wouldn't want for us to be discussing something that is not before us. We should, in members of parliament, shouldn't discuss things that are still discussed somewhere that are not with them. And therefore, that's what we really want to discuss. We have invited you as stakeholders who are interested in development of sport, but also the role that you are playing in development of society in terms of your social responsibility. That is really the main purpose why we thought that we should meet the stakeholders and have a discussion. And therefore, I want to say that I wouldn't want really to the committee to be thinking that we are discussing something that is not before us. There's nothing like that before us at this point in time. Of course, there are discussions general that are taking place everywhere. But as we meet today, we are not meeting for that. Because we are not allowed, in terms of the rules anyway, to even to anticipate things that are not before us. Therefore, we want to limit ourselves on the role that we are assisting us to develop sport and promoting sport in our country. And then, of course, there are other issues that we can discuss as we move on, as colleagues and also as stakeholders that are interested in ensuring that sport development. And sponsorship in sport is a very important area, what you are doing, what are the challenges, what are the other areas there. But it's not about the advert issue, generally on that issue. And then, therefore, we want to have a discussion that is broadly as colleagues that are dealing with this. And then you are most welcome, colleagues. Of course, as you make your presentation, you can touch anything that you want to touch on. But the main purpose of the meeting is for us to meet with our colleagues and the stakeholders to have a broad discussion around the issue of sport in our country and the role the industry also is playing in assisting us to develop in sport and what are the challenges and what are the issues that we can discuss, all of us as individuals and also as collective that interested in the development and promotion of sport. Again, as far as I know, Chief Whip, there's no bill in Parliament that is talking about this ban on alcohol at this point in time. There's nothing, therefore, we would never discuss something that is not even before Parliament at all. We'll discuss other issues that I've already elaborated. I think that's how really I want us to handle our meeting, just to not cause confusion. Talking about something that is not in Parliament. It would be wrong for any member of Parliament to start discussing something that is not even before Parliament. It would be completely wrong for us to do so. Therefore, we should also consider that. come parla.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm happy that you've emphasized the point that there is no bill in front of Parliament. Because there's a lot of things which have been written in the newspapers, but this meeting, as you correctly put it out, that we are here to listen to the stakeholders in terms of sponsoring of sport. No bill is in Parliament. I want to emphasize that point further, that there's no bill in Parliament, and so we can't discuss anything except to listen to what you come to present to us. Thank you.
Okay. I think that we would then welcome the EIM and then State Affairs. We are around here. And then thank you very much for coming. And then SAF Warriors. These are old friends anyway. Doctor, welcome. And then thank you very much, and Makatin, Mobo, and Maha. And then friend house, Bamabas, we welcome you. And Bani, I think we are around also on that. And Zoto, and then those are issues that we are. Thank you very much, police, for coming. Really, we have convened this meeting of stakeholders more than any other thing. We have a discussion on some of the issues that we are raising. Rabuta, we are right.
I'm right.
Okay. Then I think what we should then do, and Sedenberg, I think we won't mind if we request the SAP, Dr. Vincent and the team just to brief us. We know that they're playing a very critical role, but we wouldn't know every aspect of the role that they're playing in terms of sponsoring development and promotion of sport in our country, and the impact of it. I think we can start with the SAP Warriors. What is there? If we put something here now. Oh, okay. Okay, no, because we have already put something on the screen. Maybe we should start with you, and then just to take your time and assist us. And I know that you have done a lot of research on some of these areas of your life. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm here representing BMI Sport Info. For those of you who don't know the company, BMI is the first and only independent research company in South Africa that deals exclusively with the sport and sponsorship industry. We don't tell you who's going to win the next election, but we deal exclusively with sport sponsorship. We have field workers that go into the public and do face-to-face interviews. We can tell you who plays, who watches every sport, what are the trends since 1987, every demographic in every sport, participation, spectator, and more importantly for today, we'll be focusing on the commercialization of sport, the size of the market, and obviously relevant to the discussion at hand. The South African sponsorship market, as you can see in the chart, has grown from 63 million rand. That's the direct spend sponsors put into buying or acquiring sport rights. In 1985, from 63 million rand to where we're currently at a market of just under 4.6 billion rand to acquire rights. In addition to purchasing the actual sporting rights, there's also what we call an activation or leverage budget that they use to obviously get out to the public and influence folks to use their products and services. That adds another 2.3 billion, making the total sponsorship market in South Africa currently a 7 billion rand industry. Okay, so it's certainly grown from strength to strength, and as you can see in 2010, we've had massive World Cup effects that helped grow the sponsorship and sporting industry. The problem with the current industry is that it's been a tough couple years, certainly a bit of a hangover after the World Cup. And more importantly, leverage budgets, the second column that I referred to, have not been growing at the same pace as the rights themselves. So we're currently in a situation where the activation budgets are shrinking and shrinking badly. That affects, obviously, the entire advertising, broadcast, and sponsorship market. We've gone from a leverage budget of just over 80, 84 cents back less than 10 years ago in early 2005 to where we're currently sitting at under 50 cents and declining quickly. And we tend to use the comparison that we've got a lot of expensive toys out there without any batteries to run them. So our message has been to the rights holders, the sporting federations out there, when they attract their sponsorship, to ensure that they include the batteries with the toy. They include the TV rights, the leveraging, the branding rights, etc. And some of them are starting to listen to that. Where are we as a landscape in terms of the sponsorship? As I said, there's been a lot of marketplace volatility over the last 2 years. One that's often in this industry filled with contradictions. We always hear about the major sponsorships, the 2 billion Rand broadcast deals that are done, the international FIFA, UEFA major sponsorships. But we also hear the story of a number of sporting codes, a number of cultural arts, music festivities that are being canceled every day or aren't able to send their athletes overseas. Swimming comes to mind, our Olympic medals waiting in line to get a check so that they can go overseas and compete. So we have the haves and the have-nots really in this industry. Adding to that, the last 18 months have really been a period of consolidation rather than any tremendous success stories. Fortunately, last year, most of the sponsors in soccer renewed with the PSL, but not at the previous 20, 30, 40% increases that they had seen at CPI. And that really tells you, as soccer goes in the country, how the overall industry mood is right now. We've gone from a seller's market, if I can, to a bit of a buyer's market right now. Okay. The elephant in the room, therefore, is the high price of rights right now. And sponsors are now looking at real returns on investment in terms of putting more dollars in. The problem with that is that when sponsors' dollars go out, everyone looks to government to replace that money and to keep sport going, and we know that's not an endless source of funding. In fact, quite the opposite. The sponsors have taken a more cautious, short-term approach. They're not prepared to sign the 3-5-year sponsorship contracts, which we have been traditionally accustomed to, and many are going for 1-year extensions or alternatively dropping out of sponsorship and looking for quick advertising campaigns, which are easier to manage budgets when we don't know what the future holds economically worldwide. Even for the first time, the big three codes, soccer, rugby, and cricket, are now actually battling to renew at the rates that they're looking for. They're still definitely dominating the industry, but it's not as easy as it was. Cricket had lost a lot of its sponsors due to various reasons over the previous years. There's been announcements on sponsors pulling out recently on soccer, so it's a difficult market. That being said, there's still a lot of money going into sport. It's still as attractive as ever. And in particular with new media, it's one of the very few things left in the world where we still have appointment viewing on TV. Live content takes away all technology. Nothing has replaced it. So sport as a commodity has become more and more and more important for a number of not only rights holders, but obviously content providers as well. With the landscape changing in communications and new satellite, DTT, communication platforms opening up, sport will be the critical driver to success or failure in that industry. But what sport broadcasting needs, which I'll touch on now, is obviously sponsors to help pay for those expensive rights that continue to grow exponentially. Very quickly, on a lot of the literature I've seen people talk about sports sponsorship, but very little is spent on the non-sports, which are the arts, culture, community fairs, festivals, music concerts, etc. It is true that while there are a number of those events, the percentage of spend is very small in this country. 70%+ of all sponsorship spend goes into sport. A whopping 22% goes into sports broadcasting, which is very unique to our market. And I want to emphasize that because if you look at the comparisons with North America and Europe, it's a much smaller market. We have, and we tend to look at what the rest of the world is often doing, and I say this as a foreigner who now has lived here for 20 years. We tend to look at what America's doing, what Europe's doing, but we have the most advanced sports broadcasting market in the world. Not just in quality of production, but also in the way we use sponsorship elements and have grown it. And in fact, our sports sponsorship market rivals any and has grown faster than any other market in the world as well. That's the good news. The bad news for music, arts, and culture is it's still a tiny market in terms of actual money being invested. Most of it's more of a CSI foundation type spend. There's only just under about 395, 400 million that goes into music sponsorship a year. Another 95 million or so goes into leverage, so it's about a half a billion rand industry. Therefore, roughly less than 10% of the sports market, between 4 and 8%. It has been largely supported by two industries over the last 20 years of sponsorship, and that's the alcohol industry and the banking industry has done a lot in that area. More recently, the telecoms industry has come in, and they've played a slightly larger role, more as a content buy around music and getting to youth. So I think the message is if we lose any one of those categories of sponsorship in music, arts, and culture, the effects will be pronounced. It will be quite severe on those industries. We will lose many of our cultural events. In terms of top sponsors, whilst we have hundreds and thousands of sponsors that we track at BMI every day, and while the breadth of the market is quite large, we often use the term, if we lose one or two big sponsors, there's another 20 lining up just to take their place. The fact is that the top 10 sponsors in this country generally account for anywhere from 30 to 50% of the total spend. Currently, we're sitting with the top 30 sponsors taking over 50% of the total spend in the market. As you can see from the above, the top four or the top nine are generally all your mobile companies, which are ironically starting to move away from traditional sponsorship and moving more into content. So that huge growth we've had that supported this industry in the last 10 to 15 years is actually tapering off. We've seen moves by both Vodacom, MTN, moving away and reducing some of their sponsorship spend recently, so I caution that. Obviously, the banks are very big players. Government, on a provincial level, has been recently a very big player in the last 10 years, and particularly in the run-up to 2010 and thereafter. How cities, economic impact issues, mass participation and others. And breweries, SAB, is the fifth largest sponsor in terms of spend in the country. In terms of isolating the alcohol industry, worldwide, and South Africa is no different, the alcohol industry has traditionally been one of the strongest users of sponsorship to promote their brands, their services and everything else. While I would admit that South Africa is probably not as dependent on the alcohol industry as other countries like Australia, even in America, if you look at what Anheuser-Busch spends, particularly in advertising, it's the largest spender worldwide. We're not quite there. That being said, it still accounts for anywhere between 5 to 10% of our total industry as we speak right now. So in Rand terms, on the 7 billion that I've referred to, we're talking between 400 million to 700 million in sponsorship funded by the alcohol industry. Obviously, if we look at breweries as the flagship in sponsorship right now in that category, they sponsor all of our national teams, as well as a number of music, arts, and cultures. So they would sorely be missed if we didn't have them. And as I said, to lose even one of anyone in that list I showed you in the top 10, whether it's alcohol, whether it's government, whether it would have a severe impact on a market that is fairly stable as we speak. Globally, the alcohol industry is massive. It's currently sitting at approximately $1.4 billion US. Most of that, the billion of that, goes into the major sports we tend to watch on weekends, our UEFA championships, our EPLs, our Olympics, our World Cups. They are major contributors to those sports. They're also major contributors to major federations' decisions where to host major events. As we know, in Brazil, Brazil has had a ban of alcohol in the stadium for many years for safety reasons. But FIFA would not go there unless they overturned those regulations during the World Cup to allow for their sponsors Anheuser-Busch. So, again, the domination in that category is obviously beer, not alcohol, in terms of the spirits and others. If we switch from sponsorship to the advertising industry in terms of alcohol spend, what we've seen is a growing market, contributing more and more each year since the last 5 years. The big three, SAB, Distell, and Brandhouse, in 2010 alone contributed over 1.1 billion rand to the industry. Last year in 2012, 1.8 billion rand in advertising spend came from this industry, which is a huge, huge, huge amount in terms of comparative in other industries. More importantly, focusing on the sport industry, what we often forget is that the vast majority of that advertising spend, those 30-second commercials, the whatever the case may be, on-screen logos or TV, radio, and print, the vast majority of that money goes to sporting events. It goes on the broadcast of major sporting events, and simply because that's where the target market sits. It's male, it's 30, 35 plus is the core market. It can go younger, but it's adult males that watch sport and that generally go into various facilities that can have a drink while they're watching sport. So live sport is fundamental to each other. The correlation between the two are synonymous. They fit like hand in glove. And one of the things that we often forget about is how much money and how dependent the broadcasters are on that 1.8 billion in funding. If we isolate the SABC alone, the national broadcaster, the loss of TV revenue from the alcohol industry in 2011 was somewhere in the region of 800 million rand. That's just gone from the books. As you look here, TV dominates the spend. Overall alcoholic beverages ad spends account for 1.3 billion of that 1.8 billion I've just told you about. So TV would be the greatest loser in this market. And TV is synonymous. The correlation between TV and sport, TV and sport sponsorship, is 100%. The five major codes in South Africa receive 70% of broadcast hours. Football receiving close to 46% of those hours. The same five codes receive 72% of funding. Which means that if we lose this money from advertising in the sporting industry, either the sponsors will have to cough up more money or we simply won't have the selection, the choice, and the content on TV. Now the effects of that are not just that we don't get to watch more sport. It's that we don't get to watch our heroes, it's that our kids don't get to watch our heroes, and kids without heroes that are watching sport aren't playing sport. So the effect that can have on participation trends, on growth, and on the health of youngsters fighting obesity, school sports, is quite honestly quite significant. As you can see, the SABC back in 2011 already warned that a ban could cost them roughly between 8.5%. They would be closer now to 12% of their overall income revenue stream, just from alcohol alone. So it's quite significant, ladies and gentlemen. Now, much has been made about, and I've often heard the argument about the tobacco industry. And it's quite true that similar suggestions were talked about. We lost tobacco advertising from sport. It was a major player. But it was a major player back in the early 1980s, 90s, and 2000 when it finally moved out. Now, if you reflect back on the, again, the schedule that I'm putting before you, if you look at the market when tobacco industry exited, it was in a billion rand market. It wasn't a 7 billion rand market. There was only a billion rand going into sport. And they had already started exiting, and the telecommunications companies had already started entering that market and filling that gap. Today's market, fast forward to 2013, where we're talking about other exclusions potentially, we're talking that an industry that was a quarter of the size when we last made similar moves. And it's unfair to really even compare the impacts at the time. And there's a number of reasons why. Again, as I mentioned, when tobacco was banned, it was a much smaller market. Sponsorship, particularly in South Africa, was in its infancy. We only really started getting professional and getting sports sponsorship with the World Cup 1995 after isolation for so many years. So the market was truly in its infancy then. It was very easy on top of that to replace the spend that we used to get, the revenues that we used to get in this industry from tobacco, because we had two major giants that had entered the industry. We had the IT new media, communication, internet boom that brought a lot of money worldwide, less here. And here the big impact was obviously the cellular companies. If we reflect back to 1999, and it seems like yesterday in some ways, but that's when Vodacom first sponsored the Chiefs, the Pirates. Our first Vodacom challenge was 1999. That's when sponsorship was taken to another level through the telecommunications companies. The problem today is that, as I mentioned, we don't have any new replacements. There's no new cell phone company, telecoms, no new industry that's putting up its hand saying we can replace one that leaves. Added to that, as I mentioned earlier, the telecoms, which are, as you could see, three of the top five major sponsors in this country, they're starting to reduce their traditional sponsorship and advertising spend and becoming more of a media content player. So they're redirecting that money into other areas as the maturity and growth of that company dictates. So we're in a situation where we're in a holding pattern, possibly a negative pattern, if we do nothing, as opposed to a growth pattern to replace it. As a society, obviously we focus on a range of products that can have negative impacts to children, to lives, to communities. And there's no doubt that alcohol has certainly worldwide been the most targeted. It's been at the top of the list. Gambling is there. We don't have gambling sponsorship yet, but they're waiting to come in, obviously. We've been lucky we haven't had them yet, or unlucky, depending on which side of the equation you're on. Fast foods are only starting now to try and get into the industry. The Coca-Cola, the soft drinks, the fizzy drinks, and the mobile phones are here already. The question is, really is, we've ticked off alcohol, cigarettes. If we tick off alcohol, what's next? If we tick off fast foods, if we tick off the Coca-Colas, if we tick off the cellular industry, because you know what, that's causing radiation, and maybe we tick off the banks because, you know, we've had bank crises worldwide, or, you know, my aunt saw her bill the other day and she almost had a heart attack. We have to worry about, if we start cutting out all these things, and, you know, I don't want to bring up the topic of nanny states or anything like that, that's for others to decide, not me, I'm an independent researcher. But we run the risk of destroying the sport and sponsorship industry in this country. As I mentioned as well, participation in sport, more importantly, will also be dramatically impacted. It'll be dramatically impacted. And that goes back to the health of the nation. Now, the argument that I've seen that's been raised by the Minister of Health and others, and it's agreed to by many, is that they've quantified the numbers, which I'm doing for you today on the other side. They've quantified that the cost of alcohol, and everybody understands alcohol is a massive problem that needs to be dealt with. I don't think anyone in this room would disagree with that. So we pegged it at 40 billion rand as a cost. But I've also looked at the fact that we've also credited the fact, be it econometric studies, the minister's own reports, between 6 and 19 billion rand that the alcohol industry brings to this country as a whole as well. And the argument was put forward that 40 billion, 19 billion, rather take the 40 than the 19. And I would purport that that's, from the research we've done, not the case. And I think it's in some ways a bit simplistic to say that just because you take one away, that the 40 billion in lives and danger from alcohol will disappear as well. They talk about not using sports people, that sport and alcohol shouldn't be put together. Worldwide, the trend has been quite the opposite. It's about using our heroes, and through the passion that particularly the youth have through their heroes, using them as role models. This campaign, Champions Drink Responsibly, has created millions of reach worldwide. It has educated markets worldwide. It has used major sporting stars like Rafael Nadal and others to promote responsible, safe, good lifestyle, appropriate choices. One of the things we often forget as well when we start doing the calculations about not just how much money the alcohol industry spends on sponsorship and advertising, but virtually all of that comes with responsible drinking messages as well. So whatever money I'm showing you that goes into sport and sponsorship carries a responsible drinking message. Now the question then becomes, who is going to do this after advertising is banned? Who is going to start putting up all of these drink responsible campaigns that have got unbelievable social media traction, TV advertising to send this message out? The other corporates that are supposedly there to stand in line certainly aren't going to be advertising responsible drinking because they're not in the industry. So that means it is government and or government institutions that will have to replace those billions of rands worth of social industry messaging. Brand House campaign. Synovate, one of our research partners in South Africa, did a survey that said after a campaign, which I'll show you right now, that ran on responsible drinking, that their polls showed and indicated that 4% said that they would drink less or they would not drink and drive. Very strong above-the-line messages, and perhaps this can kind of give you the impression of some of the good work that's going out and where I think this debate should focus on going forward, on what is the messaging, that we should be giving and the role that the industry can and is playing.
South Africa suffers from one of the worst drink driving accident rates in the world. We were briefed to create a campaign targeted at male drivers who are statistically more likely to get behind the wheel after drinking alcohol. Research showed that South Africans are not fazed by messages featuring gruesome accidents, so we knew we had to try a different approach.
Hi, my name is Leonard. I'm looking for a special person. I'm looking for a soul that is energetic and is understanding. I don't know what to say. I like a really nice, pleasant body.
Someone that can handle heavy situations with a smile. This is will never let you go. I'm quite demanding physically.
I have all the time in the world for you. I want to say you. Don't be scared of me. I'm not an animal.
Responsible drinking among youth.
the video had its effect. It's been developed by over 45 companies. It's a campaign for smarter drinking. It's a 5-year initiative. It's been implemented in partnership with an independent charity, the Drinkware Trust, as well as the government. So again, collaboration amongst various stakeholders. If we go a step further, and we go back to the stats as I talked about, we're looking at an industry, alcohol, that contributes to $40 billion in healthcare costs. The self-professed notes that have been accepted by everyone also claim that more than 26% of all alcohol consumed, and I'll leave this to the gentleman to my right, but comes from the unrecorded, the undistributed, the black market, the unregulated, sogrom, et cetera, in the community. Now, if we look at, of that $40 billion, 30% of that won't even change a thing. Whether we advertise or not, whether we sponsorship or not, that $40 billion now becomes conservatively $26 billion. If we take a step further, based on all the studies that say that the majority of the problems we have in alcohol-related industry are from that same 26% unregulated market, it becomes even higher. But I'm not too worried about that. Rather than, if we take that as a basis of 20, 30 billion, whatever the number is, we've had similar efforts done in the rest of the world to ban advertising and to ban sponsorship. France is often referred to. I believe there's about 9-10 countries. Most of them, however, aren't your first world, or there tend to be Muslim countries that are banning it for religious reasons and have done nothing on arguably cigarette banning at the same time, so they're not really tremendously good examples for us to use. But I have not seen anywhere any impact in terms of consumption that shows that there's been more than 10% effect as a result of actions that have been taken for more than a decade. And I simply, as an economist, as someone that has an MBA in finance and economics, look at the numbers and say, we're not sure if it's even going to work, but even if it did and we did the best worldwide and got 10% reduction in our healthcare bill, and we save $2 to $3 billion, we're going to cost a minimum $5-6 billion in revenue to an industry that desperately needs it. We're going to cause jobs, which are, as we know, the root of half of our drinking problems in this society. I'll leave those discussions to the others in the room that know the stats better than I do in terms of consumption. But the bottom line is that in terms of our industry and in terms of sponsorship, the success of sponsorship has been increasing. It's grown since the World Cup. It's now not just a little guy. It's a real legitimate marketing tool that corporates are using worldwide to engage with their clients. But because of the money and its own success, they're under the spotlight. Alcohol producers have always claimed that sponsorships are there to drive market share rather than growth of consumption. Consumption trends have stayed relatively stable overall. What happens with market, and particularly in a mature market, and we see the same whether it's with cell phones, whether it's with anything else, it doesn't necessarily grow a market. What it does is it shifts brand use. It shifts favor from a castle to a different product or vice versa. And one of the perhaps opportunities, ironically for an SA breweries and a brand house that have the majority of the market share, is that in many ways this banning of alcohol advertising is good for them, because it reduces any chance of any other new entrepreneurial, whether in the wine industry against Estelle or anyone else, from competing against them unless they do it in the black market. In other words, it locks in competition, and it's proved to do that worldwide. So it's anti-competitive in many regards and anti-entrepreneurial as well for an industry that has so much potential to grow, particularly our wine industry. I'm going to show a slightly different use of advertising slash sponsorship in the alcohol industry to show again how the two can work very nicely in a non-traditional partnership.
Inspired by the victory, written by the father of the again, some very impactful stuff. We know that excess use of any products such as alcohol, gambling, fast food, fizzy drinks, whatever you want to bring up, is a problem. And it's a problem not just our society, but society as a whole. My take on it, as an expert that views the impact that sponsorship has to brands, to a nation, is that we should rather divert our attention to what sponsorship can and should do in this area to drive this type of messaging home. Let's deal with the problem, and let's use this platform, which is such a powerful platform, to switch the odds, to communicate to people where their passion. Why do corporate brands get into sponsorship?
Sorry. We're back on the video. Why do corporate brands get into sponsorship in the first place? They do it because it's a way to engage with the market over something they're passionate about. Bobby Gotzel made a comment the other day in reference to the Southland Development Agency. We're talking about getting 2 million kids, youth in this country, actively involved in sport participation through soccer. And at the same time, as part of the overall technical master plan deals with life skills, HIV prevention, alcohol abuse, AIDS, etc., as a fundamental to the core program. And he uses his quote was that this program has the greatest, it's in fact, I'll go to the actual quote, but I don't want to misquote him, the largest and most likely to succeed youth development program in the country. And the reason for that is simple, is because these kids are passionate about soccer. They're not passionate about books and education on all the evils in the world. That gets thrown away. But if you can rally them around something they're interested in, that's what sponsorship has the opportunity to do in this country and to reach the youth. We've seen it during World Cups, so it can unite. And as an industry, it's very important. And the lesson there is to redirect how we have alcohol sponsorship or fast foods or whatever the case may be, to start sending and being more impactful in those areas, which can make a difference to the community, as part of the self-regulation. That's where really, if we want to turn the corner on any of this, globally, worldwide, if it can work for a corporate brand, it can work for corporate messaging and for government as well. But for me, perhaps the biggest thing I would miss, and I say this from all the global case studies I've done in sponsorship, if we ever didn't have the alcohol brands, is that they run the best damn campaigns we have in terms of activations and marketing worldwide. Not only that, but they tend to push the barriers in terms of technology and in terms of growth, which are so important to so many of us in order to move our telecommunications and our whole broadcast and new media industry together. So I'm going to finish off with a Heineken sponsorship promo. And I'm going to do it for two reasons. Number one, to make the point that I just made before, but also to show you the type of messaging that you get in sponsorship. That it's not necessarily, and it never is, because of our own self-regulation, go out and drink more and have a party and binge. It's about integration with sport. It's about being with consumers that are passionate about what you're being with and sharing it with them in a responsible way. This is a Heineken for Europe. Thank you.
thought that you are going to play it for many hours.
I've got one for him on Barcelona if you want. You have to lay on the dress, it's okay.
And no, and the Barcelona and the play. Okay, no, thank you very much for the presentation. I think it's very useful. And just to come back to the point that was raised earlier on, also just to welcome Dr. Fokwan, and welcome also Director General and other members. I think Mackenzie are very happy with the sharks as well.
Oh, yes. Oh,
yes. President is very happy to be.
Didn't you see on Saturday night?
And I think what we should do is to take all the presentations and then allow them discussion. I was saying again that every year we have meetings with our stakeholders. Towards the end of the year, every year we have meetings with our stakeholders, particularly those who are making sponsorship. That's where we have a broad discussion with them. I know that this year one of our doctors, it's just coincidental that we are discussing other matters this side and we are meeting with them this side. And hopefully it's by coincidence, there's no problem with that. That every year we meet with our stakeholders, we have discussion about sport and promotion of sport and recruitment. And it's not really about any other issue that we don't even know, that is not even before us. We were saying before you came in, Dr., that as far as we know about the committee, we don't have any bill that is proposed in Parliament right now that deals with the issue that is in the media, general ban on adverts, alcohol adverts. And then we are very presumptuous to raise that because we don't want this meeting to be about that because as we are concerned, we don't have anything like that right now in front of us. Therefore, it's not an issue. The issue is about the general sponsorship in sport, the impact of sponsorship in sport, and also in the promotion of sport and recreation. Of course, you know that art and culture also be part of that. I think that is what you're talking about. That's why today is all about this coincidental that we are talking about other things. That's why. Because otherwise, it can cause confusion. We always meet with our sponsors, or not our sponsors, standing because all of them doesn't have sponsors. But we always meet with our stakeholders and have a discussion around development and promotion. It's just coincidental that we also deal with other matters in the media and then about the ban and all that we don't even have. We thought that we are representing you well, that there's no bill like that in Parliament right now. And I'm very happy that you are confirming it, because otherwise you can choose the very same meeting to discuss the non-issue. Something that is not before us, something that is discussed somewhere that is not before Parliament. I was just saying that in terms of our rules, you can't anticipate anything that is not before us. That's why I said I'm going to try to avoid again this discussion about banning that thing, because it doesn't apply to us agreement here. It's our annual meeting with our sponsorship and have discussion with them on what else we can do to develop and promote sport in our country. And then we will invite then, I think it's Brian House that wants to make a presentation on SAP, Dr. Mohammed.
Chair, some of the slides are not part of this package, so we'll be happy if we could get all the slides which were presented. Yeah. Well, some of them are not
the videos.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
You want the video?
Yes,
sir. Whatever. We'll give a cassette and then.
Whatever.
We'll give
I
want
to do this right when I.
It was very useful. It was a very useful presentation. Thank you. I think they could have done. And at least now we know what is happening in terms of overall sponsorship and sports and other challenges. Bernard Mabato, where have Dr. Mapa? From every side? No, not Dr. Sometimes I use this way, I change it, just take it in.
I like the first title, just when my ego was greatly deflated by changing it to Dr. Honorable Chair and members of the committee and officials from respective departments. My first task is to thank you on several fronts. First, for inviting us. We believe very strongly that there can never be a downside to talking. It was talking, patient talking, and listening to each other, engaging each other, that saved this country from the precipices of the 80s. We believe that that culture should continue to underpin how we deal with difficult issues in our country. As an industry, we commit to that culture, and we come today to be constructive players in this dialogue. The second issue for which we would like to thank you immensely, Chair, and you have repeated this several times, was clarifying the status of the meeting. In our preparation for this meeting, we also agonized a lot on the basis that we had not seen any act, we had not seen any regulations, and we did feel that the bill, yeah, and we did feel that it would be disrespectful to anticipate something that has not been put before us. And whatever we will be presenting to you, Chair, will be based on a public policy statement, on public debate, and we assume no bill until you advise us to the contrary. Thank you very much. And the third thing, while the invitation was issued to South African Breweries and Brand House, we took the liberty and we hope you will not take any exception to that, to actually speak as one industry. We think it makes life easy. Dr. Mabasa and I speak with the authority of the entire industry. We do not just represent the two companies and the industry. It's called the ARA, and it's represented by those major players in spirits, in wine, and in beer, big and small of various sizes, and committed to the same ideal. In addition to these members, we've got associate members like Tops, Macro, Diamond Liquors. All of them have become associate members. And ARA has only one single purpose. It's not about marketing, it's not about lobbying, it's only about the promotion of the culture of responsible alcohol abuse. That's the purpose of ARA. Different marketing departments do their work, but our job, we are going to be just on only one thing. Are we reducing the incidence of alcohol abuse, or is it increasing? And that is the only basis on which ARA is going to be judged. Before I go to that, like a few general comments. The industry is also underpinned by two fundamental principles. One is that because we are a private sector, we should pass two tests in our case. One is that our contribution to the economy should be unmistakable. Any company that fails becomes a national liability because it has to be subsidized by SARS now. The second principle is we are not blind, or actually, to put it positively, we are very aware of the dangerous social consequences of the abuse of our product, and that the next test we should pass is that we should commit, we should demonstrate what we are doing in terms of alcohol abuse. So we need to make sure that the economic benefits and the social cost are actually manageable within society. That is really the two principles that we should deal with. We don't want to spoil the party. This point has been made sufficiently by the previous speaker, and we don't want to rub it in. Unless you want us to repeat what has been said, Chair, we will just put it for noting, and members are at liberty to interrogate it when it is circulated. That is just the summary of the same thing. Something interesting about South Africa. We want to focus on abuse because our contribution to sports has been sufficiently made. We are actually going in detail, but we don't think we can do better than the previous speaker. The industry approaches sponsorship at two levels. One is precisely the marketing level that has been adequately spelled out. The second part is the development part of sport. For example, one of our members is heavily involved in the third division of SAFA, where all the great stars into Bafana have actually emerged from. And the focus there is exclusively on development. And if you don't see it often in television, it's because it is not a marketing tool. It is about two things. One, it is about development. And secondly, the very same sports stars are being used in what we call a diversion program against alcohol abuse. So it is not only about sports, but it is also using that where you turn 1 + 1 = 3 rather than 2. Make sure that with the same rant you achieve development, but at the same time you increasingly divert people from alcohol abuse. And we've got a very detailed plan that we have worked out with SAFA, which we have already started implementing. It was an important thing to make. The other thing we want to emphasize is, just again from the public comment, to reinforce certain things that have been expressed in public, but also to correct certain things. The most interesting thing about South Africa is that it is an average consumer of alcohol. We are not the best, we are not the worst. Sometimes the impression is created that we are the worst. Actually, this is not the case. We are not the best, we are not the worst. What I think has not been sufficiently emphasized, or maybe before I come to that, the second point, and it has already been made here, is that majority of South Africans do not consume alcohol.
No, absolutely.
We estimate the consumers, no, the abusers, to be anything between 10 and 20% generous. But let me now qualify that statement, and this is what separates us from the rest of the world. The minority that consume are doing disproportionate social harm to the point that you actually think it's everybody who consumes. So we are not suggesting that the problem of alcohol abuse is small. It is very big. All we are saying is it is caused by a tiny minority of consumers, and therefore any strategy that needs to work has to focus on that tiny minority. A shotgun approach, and I see there are people who may be my age or even older, If you remember in a Bantu education class, a teacher walks in and hears some noise, doesn't know who was making noise and start whipping the whole class. and the consequence of that is all of us said you better make noise, because whether you are quiet or not, you are going to be hit. And what we are suggesting is in the manner we deal with alcohol abuse, let us address abusers and not punish people who don't drink or those who drink responsibly. And that has been the approach that industry has adopted in this matter. And Chair, we will wait till question time, because we don't want to spend time to say what has worked and what has not worked. For now, we would rather share with the members here our thinking, our direction, our mental attitude in dealing with these issues. And that is where you have here. The second thing that needs to be emphasized is that South Africa, contrary to public noise we hear, proportionately it's very under-licensed. And because it is under-licensed, we have created a number of artificial public policy criminals. That is exactly what we are doing. The country is under license. Just to give one single example close to home here, in 2009, and things may have changed. Around 2009, our research told that licenses in the waterfront, there were more licenses in the waterfront than in the entire Cape Flats in 2009. And what is this telling you? That by public policy, we are actually promoting illegal trading, because people will continue to trade under those circumstances. And that is why when industry continues to call for the legalization of illegal things, we are not saying we want more people to drink. They are already drinking from those illegal outfits. We are simply saying it is impossible to regulate an illegal industry. That's all we are saying. It's already a status quo, and all we are saying is make reality your friend, deal with it, legalize and regulate very, very toughly. So South Africa, it is under license, and ironically, proportionately, there are more white licenses than black licenses, so that we actually create a situation where black people are consumers, but they cannot actually make money out of alcohol. That is one of those things that we found very, very worrying. On advertising, I will make just a few comments and stop. One is, if I have already mentioned that majority of South Africans, close to 60% at the minimum, do not drink. The first question is, if advertising is so powerful, why is it only affecting 10% to 20% of people, if it is that powerful? I think we need to ask that question. The second thing, members will remember that in August, the whole campaign was on hard drugs. And we had very, very sad stories about what drugs are doing in communities. The funny thing is, we have never seen a single advert of Kik or Nyaube or whatever. And the question becomes, if the absence of advertising has not stopped the proliferation of drugs, what makes us feel it will work in alcohol? Maybe it will, but we need to understand what makes it work. And Chair, I can go on, but the thrust of our message is alcohol abuse is serious. It can be dealt with on a targeted approach where you deal with alcohol abusers. And most importantly, alcohol abuse produces dubious benefits. I mean, alcohol advertising ban gives you dubious benefits. The benefits are very dubious. But the costs are unmistakable, and we have heard about them, and we can continue. Chair, the rest, there's a lot to say. I will take a break here. My colleague will finish the rest of the presentation, and from there we will be in your hands if you allow me to stop at this point. Thank you very much.
Chair, thank you very much. I'll continue from where Dr. Matai said left. Also with a proviso that or a preamble that I think David stole quite a lot of our thunder, and we've hidden quite a lot of slides because we wanted to share with you some of the numbers, but I think we will not torture you in taking you through that process again because those numbers have already been shared. I think it is also safe, Chair, to also indicate that there is a direct link between sports sponsorship, sports development, and advertising. As private businesses, we are interested very much in sponsorship primarily because that platform gives us an opportunity to be able to increase, amongst other things, our brand equity of our brand and our products. And that's why we promote sports, and that's why we promote cultural activities and other social events that we have in the country. The slide that you see here, Chair, really demonstrates that above the line advertising expenditure of alcohol beverages, and I think David made this point earlier on, has actually increased over the period of 5 years. So companies, Brandhouse, Distell, South African breweries, have actually increased their advertising spend. But interestingly, what we've seen is that alcohol consumption has actually gone down. So there's actually a contrasting phenomenon. And you ask yourself, why are we spending more if we are not selling more? And to the point that was raised earlier on, it's advertising is mainly used for us to be able to compete against each other. Because, as Dr. Matai indicated, 65% of South Africans don't drink. Only 35% do. Now, what advertising do, it creates a platform for the 35% that drinks to be able to say, I have an option to drink product A or an option to drink product B or to move to product B. That's why we are on air. That's why we are advertising. That's why we have our billboards. So this slide really tells you that, and these are the numbers that have been put together by an independent study. These are not our numbers, but certainly Econometrics, which is obviously, I'm sure all of you have interacted with Econometrics before, a reputable think tank in the country, which has gone out to put up these particular numbers, which we are sharing with you today. And I think David also spoke about the impact that this will have, particularly in the media, because obviously a lot of our advertising, because if we sponsor sport, that sponsorship is translated into adverts on television. So if we can't, for example, sponsor, we will not be able to get our message through, and certainly the downstream other activities and also other stakeholders will also be impacted upon. I'm not going to talk to this slide because I think the numbers have been shared with you, but safe to say that all our television networks will obviously be impacted upon, the cinema industry as well, to a tune of 114 million, because if you go to cinemas, for example, that industry relies heavily on alcohol advertising. And then, of course, billboards as well will also be impacted upon quite extensively. The other area that we are not highlighting in terms of numbers is really the print media, because also that media also relies also quite heavily in terms of alcohol advertising, and it will also be impacted upon. This pie chart really is a South African breweries' assessment of the contribution that they are making towards sponsorship. And as you can see, Chair, more than 80, almost 80% of what we spend is on sport. And obviously others, it's mainly on art and culture, broadcast, naming rights, and so on. And this is just an extrapolation of SAB numbers. If you look at Brand House, you look at Distell, we can show you a different picture as well. But we just wanted to give you a broader perspective, particularly because South African breweries spends quite significantly on sponsorship in South Africa. Now, some of the sporting codes, and David spoke to some of them, which we support as the industry, and I want to highlight some of them. In soccer, we are supporting Bafana Bafana, and Chair, to the point that was raised earlier on, I'm not sure if most of you have read, 2 weeks ago, Absa Bank withdrew its sponsorship from Bafana. And you'd know that Bafana, the two major premium sponsors for our national soccer team is Absa Bank and Cassel. Now, with the withdrawal of Absa and with the impending ban on alcohol advertising and also sponsorship, we will obviously have a situation where Bafana does not have any sponsorship at all. And if indeed it is correct that other companies are lining up to take up this particular space, I'm sure that those big companies would have already made announcements that they are going to be supporting Bafana Bafana immediately after Absa pulled out. We're also very strong, and I think it is important to differentiate between Bafana as a team and also the South African Football Association, because we also support SAFA in its own right as an organization that runs our administration of soccer in the country. And of course, our domestic premium soccer league, I'm sure you are aware that we've got a lot of cups that we are supporting, the Carling Cups, where we have, for example, major teams playing for that particular coveted trophy. We also support very strongly regional soccer development, particularly at regional level, in particular the leagues. Stadiums as well. We've erected quite a lot of stadiums during the 2010 World Cup. Most of those stadiums rely on our sponsorship in order to keep them open, because we are able to advertise our banners into those particular stadiums, and they are able to keep those stadiums running. Rugby. Obviously, the Springboks as a team itself, we support quite extensively. The Tri Nations Rugby Tournament, the Curry Cup that we've just seen over the weekend where the Sharks won. We also support Super 15 and the Varsity Cup. Those are some of the sponsorships that we promote. In terms of cricket, both the Proteas Test Cricket and also the One Day Cricket team is also supported by alcohol industry. We also do a lot of work, Chair, in terms of sports development, particularly into a tune of about 40 million rands every year in that particular space. And we also, obviously, if we have a situation where alcohol advertising and sponsorship will no longer be practical and possible in South Africa, we are convinced that it will have a rippling effect, for an example, on the state, including the Department of Sports, who will have to step in, particularly if there are no other potential sponsors who can be able to come through to take up those particular sponsorships. And then there are also small other activities that we are supporting, sporting codes like the Doozy, the Fish River Canoe Marathons, the JMB Met, which we host here in Cape Town annually. Now, this slide really, and I think David also covered quite extensively the numbers in terms of the impact that if we take out sports sponsorship and advertising in South Africa completely, it will have major impact on the economy of South Africa. Currently, the impact, if you look on the right-hand side of the column, you'll see that the GDP will shrink by 7.4 billion rands, because that is the impact that we will have. And I'm talking here about the wide economic impact, for the economy. Household income as well will also go down by 5.4 billion rands. Employment, almost close to 12,000 jobs. It was interesting, Chair, that the Minister of Finance last week addressed you in Parliament, where he spoke about revising the economic growth by from 3.5% to less than 2%, because the economy cannot generate enough jobs and be able to generate the required employment opportunities. In this particular case, if we are going to be losing almost 12,000 jobs, certainly it creates additional burden to our economy as a whole. We also contribute quite immensely in terms of tax and import duties, and there will be also be a shrinkage of about 1.7 billion in that particular space, similarly with our exports and imports market as well, as the numbers show on that particular slide. We are obviously mindful, Chair, that there are concerns that the stakeholders have raised in relation to advertising of alcohol products in the market. And as an industry, we are fully mindful of that particular reality. We know, for example, that the volume and the frequency of adverts that are on television have raised some concerns. And we are obviously aware of those particular concerns. Similarly, the content of alcohol advertising, linking those directly, we've also noted that those concerns have been raised, and we need to find a way to be able to manage how best we can be able to respond in order to be able to deal with this particular concern that has been raised. Now, the big question, Chair, that we should all be asking is, does advertising of alcohol influence consumption or not? And we've seen that there's been studies after studies that the literature is not very conclusive and sometimes contradictory in its own very nature. And we've also seen that alcohol, obviously, as a mature product category, in that consumers are already aware of the product and its basic characteristics, because we are not selling a product here which is designed to be sold to underage. We sell products that are particularly designed for adult South Africans over the age of 18 years or older. And we are very convinced, Chair, when we look at the literature and we look at all these studies have been done, particularly also by the World Health Organization, that there is no statistical relationship between the per capita alcohol consumption and per capita advertising expenditure on alcohol. So there is no relationship, because you are able to, as I've shown earlier on the graph, where you have, for example, advertising spend going up but consumption going down, you can clearly see that the relationship is really very thin. And I think this particular two figures also reconfirms that particular point that I've just made, that there is really not a relationship between consumption and advertising. We also convinced, Chair, that if you have a person who consumes alcohol and is watching television and is looking at an advert, we are not convinced that that person will immediately take a decision to go and buy an alcoholic product. That's not how our consumers make their decisions. And that's not how consumption patterns in South Africa develop as a whole. Nor do we believe that removing, for an example, a billboard in the middle of Sandton will have an impact on someone who's sitting somewhere in Palabora, in the northern in Limpopo. So there is no connection between those particular areas, as it were. I think I've made I've spoken to this particular slide, so I'll go straight to our conclusion, Chair, if I may. That I think all of us agree, Chair, that South Africa has a challenge in relation to alcohol abuse. Government and the industry agrees, and I think Dr. Mapai spoke to that particular point, that we do have a number of people who are unfortunately abusing alcohol in the country, and I think we have a collective responsibility to see and to work together to be able to address that particular challenge that South Africa has as a country. We also accept, Chair, as the alcohol industry, that the status quo in relation to advertising in this country should not remain. There are certain things that we need to do differently. There are certain issues that we need to be able to work together on in order for us to be able to make sure that we are able to change the current status quo. The industry is open to discuss and make concessions in making sure that we are able to address specifically the issue of alcohol abuse. Because it is our view that alcohol is not a problem. The problem is alcohol abuse. There are many South Africans who enjoy alcohol every day, people who go to dinner and enjoy their dinner with a glass of red wine every day, and they do so responsibly. And as a result, I think we should not be demonizing alcohol as an issue. The issue is the abuse, and I think we need to be able to zoom into the abuse and be able to come up with interventions that will really be able to address it. I mean, Dr. Mapai spoke about and gave an example of a drug, for an example. I mean, we know, for an example, that Nyaupe, for an example, the big problem in Nyaupe is in Pretoria, where you go to Soshanguve, you go to Mabopane, you go to Harangua, and those areas. Now, if we want to deal with Nyaupe, are we going to go to Lusikisiki to deal with Nyaupe? I mean, people in Lusikisiki have never heard of Nyaupe. So we need to be able to come up with targeted interventions that will be able to address specifically where the problems are, because we know where major problems are, we know where abuse is, and I think studies after studies have been made, and I think we need to be able to come up with targeted interventions that will really help us to be able to reduce the harmful nature of alcohol. Chair, the World Health Organization, in its own literature, there is a global strategy to reduce the harmful use of alcohol. If you read that particular document, it does not speak about an alcohol advertising ban. It speaks about regulation. It encourages member countries to introduce regulation that will restrict alcohol advertising. It doesn't say ban alcohol advertising. And this is what we want to be able to have a balance in South Africa, to say even the World Health Organization, which we use as a country quite strongly as a reference point, is not recommending a ban. It is recommending purely that, you know, member states needs to consider restrictions, whether it is self-regulation, whether it is co-regulation between the industry and government, where we can be able to say, these are the things that we need to be able to look at. I mean, let's take, for an example, the issue around, the frequency of adverts on television, where we can be able to say, instead of having alcohol adverts between 8 o'clock and 8:30, when our children are watching Generations, let's move those ads somewhere where our children are sleeping, and so on and so forth. So we believe very strongly that there is scope for us to be able to do things differently and be able to come up with measures that will really help us to be able to get to a point where we are able to regulate. Another example, for example, Chair, is alcohol banners, for example, to say that we can't afford to have these banners all over our townships, next to schools, next to places of worship, and so on and so forth. We can be able to regulate that as the industry and also with government together, so that we can be able to really be able to come to a point where we do not have a situation where the ban will have unintended consequences on our economy and also on other industries. I've spoken about targeted interventions, and we believe very strongly, Chair, that targeted interventions will really help us to be able to resolve this issue in a manner that will be able to help us to move. Dr. Mopai, I'll hand over to you to wrap up, and I thank the committee for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. May I, Chair? Honorable Chair, thanks very much. Just a few seconds, and again to thank you for this opportunity, and to emphasize again that nothing we have said should ever give the impression that alcohol abuse is a non-issue. It's a serious issue in the country. We need to address it. The final point, again, my colleague has made it. We came here to present our case, but also to listen and to learn. And we stand ready to learn, and we want to acknowledge that in the past, perhaps we could have done things differently. We stand ready, and we think the scope for us. We do not think advertising can continue as business as usual. We have applied our minds, but we don't want to be ahead of government, and we would rather welcome another opportunity to discuss these options in greater detail in an environment where we are listening to each other. But thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. You're firing me now. Thank you very much, Dr. Mabasa and Dr. Thank you for that. It's very, very useful for us to know about the role they are playing in development and promotion of sports. That is really our interest. And then the rest, really, the health committee, wherever they are ready, they will deal with it. And then ours is about development and promotion of sport. What role our sponsors are assisting us to do so. And then those who are dealing with other issues, they will be responsible for those other issues. And then, Doctor, I think those ones, you are business, really. We wouldn't assist you on that one. We wouldn't assist you on that one. But I know that will assist us to develop my sport. And because that's all of us we are interested in. And then I think the presentation, colleagues, has been very useful for us. And then around the overall development of sport, the impact. I think the scientific ways of putting things. I want to invite the colleagues to comment on it. Robert Abbey, let me start with you.
Thank you, Baba. Taking in consideration what you said when we started, I agree. But also this subject is a very important subject that actually affects our people out there. And like you said, that maybe it will be better dealt with by the Portfolio Committee on Health. But again, I think it is also important to note that, you know, stronger regulations could also help, yes, it's true, of alcohol advertising. Because obviously, banning alcohol is not a solution, but a solution will be actually those regulations of advertising so that they can help maybe in reducing alcohol consumption. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Banning alcohol, I thought there's never been any. Yes, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Let me thank the presenters. And I think this is very helpful for us to understand. Some of us have been understanding these things. But the one issue, I know that you just put in money into this federation and what have you. But do we monitor the development which is taking place? as I'm speaking now, there's a competition of under-17s which has been played. South Africa is not there. Somebody has spoken that, I think Dr. Mafai, that you are also busy with youth and what have you. Is there a mechanism of monitoring that youth? I know there are these various cups which have been played. Now, some of these questions are really meant for federations, but you, when you put in money, you say you are putting it for development. So we need really to look at that. The sponsorship is also skew. Sponsorship when it comes to female sport, you see very little happening. I mean, if you can compare the performance of Banyana Banyana vis-a-vis Bafana Bafana. Banyana Banyana is number 6 in the world. Where's Bafana Bafana? And we put in money there, really. The other thing is, many of our sports people die purpose. More especially if you look at artists, boxers, and what have you. Do we look into this land that they take care of the athletes and what have you? Because we put in money in those things. Lastly, your taverns, more especially your licensed taverns, what kind of education programs do you have for them? Really, because if you go through these documents, you pick up really very important issues. But do they have programs for their consumers so that they can go out and teach? I can speak until tomorrow morning, but I'm just happy I didn't touch the bill. There's no bill. Thank you.
Honorable Mackenzie.
Oh, sorry. Mackenzie, I didn't congratulate you, man. Thank you. You indicated in the house that you are going to win, and you've done it.
But that was luck. Chair, you make your own luck.
Your bad luck.
You know, to the presenters and the chair, just before I get on to the serious question of the issue we're dealing with, on Thursday at member statement time, I was trying to say that a lot of the commentators, sports commentators, are saying that on Saturday night, a lot of the spectators and supporters in the Western Cape would be eating shark fin soup, which would be on their menus. What I was trying to say to the speaker, you must be very, very wary of seafood poisoning and a hangover the next morning. And so I couldn't finish that statement, but there it is. I thought I'd just get it in now. Chair, firstly, I'd like to thank the presenters. And I think there's a lot of common sense that coming out of the arguments they're putting forward. And I'd also like to say that I don't want to debate the moral issue of the damaging consequences of excessive drinking and behavior associated with that, because you cannot underestimate the damage and harm. And we have friends who have lost loved ones because of drinking and driving and so on. Let me say, I think we as a country need to take a common sense approach here. You know, when we had the tobacco ban, I must tell you, Chair, that I'm not sure that consumption of tobacco, and I missed the early part of it, so if I'm saying something that's not correct, believe me. But I haven't seen any studies that tell us that tobacco consumption has in fact gone down. Or if it's gone down, how significantly. But I think that we've got to look at the message that the industry is trying to send. And I'm hearing a balanced approach saying we can modify our message. We want to work with the authorities. And I think that's what we have to do. Because from when the tobacco industry did that, the sports and rec department were promised that the shortfall in revenue would be made up in sin tax. Never happened. And is that going to happen again should this alcoholic ban take place? So I pose the question, because I think we've got to be very, very careful on that. In terms of the message, and I think this is the key part, you know, we have this terrible pandemic called AIDS and HIV.
What was the message initially? A very blurred message, and the HIV rate just went through the roof. When the message changed, you saw tangible results. And so today you see HIV rates coming down because they've actually targeted a pragmatic approach. The message was pragmatic to try and reduce the infection rate. And I think that is this is probably what we need to do. If you say ban sex or you can only have this, it doesn't work. But if you say have safe sex, these are the consequences, etc., etc., and help educate people. And I think that's what's happened. And I think the country's been very effective in doing that. The other part that has a concern, Chair, is that being a sports administrator, I know that the sponsorship we get goes a long way below the line that is not seen above the line to developing sport at all levels in all our municipalities. And so we don't want to see that expense of lives and harm. But the contribution that the industry has made has been enormous on the ground. So I think just the pragmatic approach would be very, very good. Lastly, I just want to say, in terms of the economy, and I don't want to get too much into that, but it's not just the loss of jobs in the alcoholic industry and so on. It's far broader than that. Whether it comes down to eventing, entertainment, whether it's the small little printer who has a little shop in downtown Johannesburg or Kroonstadt or whatever, who's printing something about some event which he can't do anymore. I think it has a huge negative effect on the ground. So I just thought I'd mention that. Thank you.
Director General, you want to make a contribution? Yes, sir. Invited as an accounting officer. Not to talk about the advert bag. As the advert, are you cogiti? As the other people. So then I have a corner to talk about my. Over my day, but he won't. Not rooming in the season, but quick. Okay.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members. Chair, I'll first make a short comment as a senior civil servant and a functionary of cabinet. And secondly, speak as a director general of the department. As a senior civil servant, I am cognizant of the fact that cabinet has approved the draft bill. It has not yet been tabled in parliament, but it is coming. And consequently, we will await for the Department of Health to do so and table it at the relevant portfolio committee. But as the Director General of Sport and Recreation, what Honorable Mackenzie captures is succinct for us. We supported the ban on tobacco advertising, and we supported it wholeheartedly as government, and indeed considered and accepted the promise during the debates and as the bill was going through, and the assurances we received from our colleagues in other departments that purported that the ban was good for society and good for sport, and that sport as a platform and as a catalyst for social change needed to position itself in such a manner that it promotes healthy lifestyles, and it's associated with quite good traits in society. And we, on that basis, wholeheartedly supported the ban on the proviso that the syntaxes would then be pushed through Parliament, and each year would see a rise in the taxation of this specific product, including tobacco, and that the shortfall that would accrue as a result of the withdrawal of tobacco advertising. I'm sure many of you would remember the number of cups and number of programs and tournaments that were supported by tobacco. The Rothman's Cup, Benson and Hedges, and JPS Cup, and so on and so on. There were plenty, and across a number of sporting codes. Now, when tobacco withdrew and the money was not forthcoming as was promised, and we argued with Treasury and we made our submissions, and yet the sin taxes were being collected, and year in, year out, Parliament had witnessed a budget vote being tabled where there was an increase in the taxation of both tobacco and alcohol, and yet no proceeds were coming directly to sport, even to our department, let alone on the increase. In fact, if you look at the budget growth, you see that our budget is constricting and not increasing. And even now, during the debates within government, our indication has been that as a department, that we leave that to health and social development. We're not going to enter and be drawn into the debate as to whether there is a link between advertising and tobacco or alcohol consumption or otherwise. That's really not for us. Correctly, as this portfolio committee also adopts the same position. And that's for health and social development to debate. What is of interest to us is that those who purport that the ban must be in place ought to indicate to us where the resources will come from to support sport, because government must function as a whole and as a single entity. It cannot consider aspects of success in whatever policies and ignore the other parts of the responsibilities of government constitutionally. The entire picture has to be looked at, and one solution that has unintended consequences in other parts, functional parts of government, ought to be considered as well. And in totality, whatever policy we make ought to cover the whole spectrum and interest. And we had insisted that if such a ban takes course and the alcohol industry withdraws its sponsorship, then we need a guarantee that the money will come. And this time, we will not accept by word of mouth. We would want it either legislated or alternatively written down, and such a commitment from Treasury will have to come. And as is now, it doesn't look that that is likely. And it is for that reason that we have great discomfort, and we hope that this committee will do the right thing as representatives of people and as a portfolio committee responsible for sport and recreation, because we cannot afford to take one step forward and three steps backwards. We have to ensure that we consolidate, and my responsibility and that of the Minister of Sport is to ensure that we look after the interest of sport, and the so-called good guys are really not good guys. I think we must say that. In short, it will not matter what product I mention. Even the so-called soft drinks are really not soft, per se. And we see obesity and all sorts of things, and they contain high levels of carbohydrate, sugars, and every other thing. I will not even go into that. I'm not a doctor. I'm sure honorable member could have a better place to speak about that. But in short, and we do not see them coming to the party in a big way as this industry has come, and in supporting sport in that regard. And even others, like the retail stores, which we are told are selling organic products and so on and so forth, are not really coming to the party. And even if you go into their outlets and you go at the back there, at their cafeterias and everything they sell fatty chickens and chips and all sorts of things. They are not totally good guys. This is the point I'm making, and that when tobacco ban was effected, we were saved as a sector, primarily because there was an emerging new industry. The telecommunications companies were coming on board, they were new, they were reclaiming space, and in their products were well sought after at the time. They represented a new symbol of status for society, and people were consuming those particular products in high numbers and in high regard, and certainly even with the cost of telecommunications in our country, it was lucrative business. They were making more money, so they had a lot to spend on this, and they filled the gap with ease. But right now, all projections accepted by Cabinet and by Treasury indicate that with the world economic downturn, all industries are shrinking. In fact, everybody, even the traditional sponsors of sport, such as Standard Bank and so on, they've all pulled out completely out of sport sponsorships. And we see even APSA and others limiting. Even where industry had been spending significantly on sport, we have seen a constriction of that. Well, except for the alcohol industry, which
has actually increased his spend on sports sponsorship, and it will be a sorry day for us in sports if that is to happen, and if we will lose such a significant sponsorship, because frankly we as government and what the treasury is giving us is grossly insufficient to be able to drive sport. We are in a time where we should actually be increasing on sports sponsorship in the light of the fact that our sport and recreation plan as approved by cabinet is not wholly financed by government, and it is for that reason that I can only appeal to this committee to do the right thing. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Director General. Let me invite the presenters if they want to comment. David.
Look, I'll deal with a few of the comments and questions in a random way. I think one of the interesting ones was the comments on development and where are we and do we monitor these things? And the answer is yes, both commercially, but more importantly, there are various programs that are coming into place. And I can give a few examples. Perhaps one of the best examples of a sponsorship that has impacted the most in terms of real social development be the swimming sponsorship of Telkom for 10, 15 years. Now, I think everyone in the room has, certainly in the sporting departments, have celebrated with Chad and Cameron on the gold medals that we won in the Olympics. That's the side we hear about. But the actual foundation of that entire sponsorship was based around what initially was an Olympic sponsorship, ran for the preceding 10 years as a learn-to-swim sponsorship. It is one of the most amazing things where, as part of teaching people not to drown, you have a sport that isn't just, you know, getting people running around a field and kicking a ball and giving freebies away and T-shirts, but it was actually saving lives in the community to the point where the sponsorship funds went to create little porta pools that went into schools in the community. And not only were these schools used to teach people how not to drown and how to first swim, but they also used it in science classes and math classes on volumes and other things. They took kids out to the rivers and into the community. So a phenomenal program that has won awards worldwide as one of the best CSI programs by Benchmark Sports in the UK. So that's a very practical good example of how some of these things are done. In soccer, I'll deal with that issue as well. I think we all know by now, and some of the recent comments by the new president, Dr. Jourdain, has basically alluded to the fact that if your child fails in kindergarten and then fails in preschool and fails in high school, we mustn't expect it to get a degree in university. And to a large extent, it's development which is needing the most attention in our soccer fraternity. One of the biggest initiatives, and Dr. Mbai can speak to this as well, is in terms of the creation of the SAFA Development Agency, which will ring-fence and be looking at development as a whole, and is desperately in need of sponsorship. I think SASL was the first sponsor to come on board in the region, Secunda, and Sasselberg, obviously, to look at how they can fund the technical master plan. But at the heart of it lies a partnership that came out of the World Cup of hosting, which was with Germany, and the DFB.net, which is the whole internet base. Now, we've had problems, like everyone else, in age cheating and getting names on a piece of paper. In fact, even the fans, most clubs can't give you 100 names to say who are they and how do we speak to them. This system has been given to SAFA. It's an internet-based system which, for the first time, will allow us to register every single person in football in this country, from the 8-year-old child up to the professional playing for Bafana Bafana. Every coach, every referee, every child athlete that's playing, and to be able to monitor their progress through, which again will allow us to create a talent pipeline. So through the FIFA Legacy Trust, already 8 million rand has gone into the under 13 and under 15 boys and girls, looking for sponsors to match that program. From there you grow to an under 17. At under 17, that's our first national team. If we can get them to qualify and win, then we're on the road to under 20. Our women, as you said quite correctly, are now, through the money that SASL has put into their sponsorship, we've seen the results with Bafana Bafana. We've seen women's leagues
starting for the first time in football. We see a women's under 20 that will be coming home within the next 2 weekends to qualify for the World Cup under 20 in Canada, having won the first leg 5-2 against Botswana. Coming home, a draw is good enough to get through to the next round. So there's a lot of good work that's being done. And one of the things we are saying in terms of the sponsorship industry is that we're no longer just measuring, as Dr. Mampai said, for the Castles and everyone else in the world, not just measuring media return on investment, we're measuring impact. And as economies get tighter and tighter, as the difficulty to spend gets harder and harder for the CEOs, the impact corporates will be able to do through social media and other avenues on what they're doing in the community will have tremendous benefits. We've proved this with soccer and telecom that had the highest rating of any social program in the community based on not the charity cup in football that got all the media, but on their swimming properties. So absolutely, it can be monitored and there has to be more of it done.
Thank you, David. And Dr. Mabasa and Dr. Mampai.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. Some of the questions were comments, so we have taken note of them. But there's a comment on a comment with which I would like to open, which came from Member McKenzie on the issue of how we dealt with AIDS as a country. It is very interesting. That has been our great success story. And Minister Motsoaledi should take a personal accolade on the leadership he provided on that issue. And the formula was simple. When you deal with a serious social problem, the best approach is to mobilize every resource in society to deal with it. And it reinforces our view also on alcohol problems, that everybody mobilized, we will get quite far. To come on specific issues, which were several questions on how we monitor development, skewed sponsorship, and so on, I would like to deal with them first with a general comment, which is that one of the things when you are a sponsor, your relationship with the people you sponsor is very delicate. You don't want to come down like a ton of bricks as a bully, then you cause resentment. But at the same time, there are certain accountabilities that you expect. And so we walk that tight line. Where there are concerns, we have them in private. It is not our style to demonize people in public. We talk, we even put resource. Let me just give very, very specific examples. We monitor sports development that we talked about. It affects about 30,000 young people with about 1,300 teams. Not only do we monitor, our staff volunteers to be involved in every game. They organize, they help, and we co-run it with SAFA. But the key thing is we cannot take it from SAFA. It's not our job. But we support, we help, but we don't want to take over the accountability because then we spoil the relationship. It plays every week in 52 regions. And in all of them, some of our ARA members are directly involved in all of that. Skewed sponsorship, very, very straightforward. There's nothing to even argue about. Ironically, discussions were already quite far with some of the sports codes, but we suspended them in the light of current policy debates in public, you know, because you don't want to do it now and then it's illegal the following day. We just thought you know, and the sports codes involved understand. It's not about sexism or anything, it is historical. One of our members has been involved in sports for almost 60 years. And by then there were no even female football clubs to talk about. And the point we are making is we are aware of it. There were already very, very constructive discussions taken between some of our, going on between some of our members and the sports codes involved. And it's not abandoned. It's just letting certain processes come clearer. But it underlines something also that we have been talking about, that sponsors are not just sitting and ready for picking. And that point has already been made. The assumption that as soon as some sponsors are kicked out, the others will be available, it's at best very, very optimistic. That's our view. And otherwise, the problem of skewed sponsorship would not even have been raised today. Sports people die as paupers. Very, very sensitive subject. You see it every day. You see some of your heroes completely broken. We were reading about one of our heroes in the weekend papers. That is a very, very sad case. And the answer is, as sponsors, we do not have immediate answers. But through our own internal mechanisms, our members have been able, for example, to use some of our CSI programs in terms of skills training, in terms of entrepreneurial training, just to assist some of the people that we know who are involved in sports. In development, again, to emphasize, it's not just about training young people. We also train match officials in refereeing, you know, especially in soccer, that's a subject of comment every weekend. We develop coaches, and we are even beginning to fast track some of top talent, very, very young, into the top clubs on the country. The last comment on what we are doing with Tavernas. Very interesting. There's no way you are going to deal with alcohol abuse unless you deal with Tavernas. People who abuse alcohol don't come to head offices of our members. They don't even know where we are. They don't care, but they go especially there. And we have a program called Responsible Trader Program. And what is interesting about it is that it was most welcomed by Tavernas. And it focused on several things. One, teaching them to comply with the conditions of their license. So focus on compliance very strongly. The second thing, no young people should ever be allowed into their premises. And when in doubt, insist on a ID. Thirdly, if you know somebody and it's already had more than enough, we urge you not to give them more. And if possible, if they came to your property by car, if you can keep the car home and get them home safely by other means and let them come when they are back. And in the case of where you know for sure, because this is one case where you don't want to make a mistake, you might cause more damage than what you are trying to do. When you are absolutely sure that a female consumer is pregnant, we urge you to advise them against consuming at that point and, you know, not humiliating them, not being big daddy, but actually explaining that it is your ethics. It has now trained over 17,000 traders. And what is interesting, when we do the training and invite them, they will all pitch up and spend the whole day work, you know, at the training. They don't get paid for attending the training, but they will attend it and rather miss running their own businesses because they actually say it has begun to help them when emphasizing both on their business skills and on their social responsibility skills and responsible trading. And yeah, I can go on, but if you allow me, Chair, that's all.
Chair, if I may, just to comment on some of the points that the DG made. I know that you did not raise any specific questions, but some of the comments you've made, because I think Dr. Mapai has dealt with all the questions that came through. I think as the industry we agree that we're not doing enough to be able to work with government to be able to identify interventions that are important in order for us to be able to advance sports development in the country. And I think we should perhaps chair, so that I think that will help us as well as the industry in directing our sponsorship, because currently we mainly direct our sponsorship because we've had interactions with a particular sporting code. Whether that is really advancing the development and your priorities as government in terms of where you want to see sports going, is obviously remains to be told. So I think it's important that we're able to increase our partnerships in order for us to be able to make sure that we address specifically the country's development goals in relation to sports. And let me say, Chair, as well, that in our presentation today, we confined our input specifically to sports, because it's relevant to this particular committee. But I think let me indicate that the industry also contributes immensely in other activities as well. You know, if you look at, for example, the cultural activities alone, we're sponsoring, for example, things like the International Jazz Festivals, the South African Music Awards, the Makufe Festival that just took place in Bloemfontein 3 weeks ago, beer festivals around the country, and then most importantly, the work that we do in terms of our corporate social investments, because we also participate quite very strongly in community projects, where we also, when we participate in those particular community projects, we don't even use our brands to support those programs, but we support those brands using our corporate names, whether it is building a clinic or a school or whatever the case may be. There are many of those that we obviously participate in. I thought I should just take advantage and throw that in as well, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, now thank you very much for the presentation. And colleagues, any point that you want to raise on your side? Since you have assisted us really with the presentation, very clear now the role we are playing in development and promotion of sport. The challenges, of course, that we are facing there. Director General, it would be a good idea one day to have a sporting field in each and every village. And Dr. Mambai is here. Of course, notwithstanding what may happen here now, as we are talking today, what we'll talk tomorrow is a separate issue. But as we are talking today, she's here, and then Dr. Mabasa is here, and then I think we can play a very important role in some of the rural villages. Because you will agree, Dr. Mabasa, if you go to rural villages, young boys simply go to sometimes in areas that are not really assisting them to develop. Because there's no sporting facility. It's just an open ground, level, nice poles, and you see that way. I don't think the industry would find it difficult to do so. And then, of course, there will be a lot of other problems in other areas. But we know that we are playing a very critical role in development of sport and culture, education. I think we are playing a broader role with society. We really do appreciate that. Notwithstanding what Dr. Kokwan would be saying, once they are facing the real issue that they must discuss, then I think it's very useful that you have said to us, and then I think we will engage from time to time. And then every year we have this meeting with our stakeholders, that's where we have a broader discussion around development and promotion of sport. And also we have been raising an issue though, that those who sponsor, they should also ensure that there's proper good governance in this organization. Because our view is that a sponsor, without really checking that there's a good governance, sometimes causes problems. And it's far better to emphasize the point of good governance, because some of the problem in all sporting federations is just poor governance. And then because of this poor governance, makes it difficult even for them to get sponsors. And then we take the point, of course, that there are no sponsors, director general, that are waiting somewhere on the way. It takes time even to develop this sponsorship, I guess, and it's a very important point. And I think we are going to interact from time to time and have a real discussion on the development of sport. And surely those who are dealing with culture, Sunduzas and others, again, they will engage you for culture in other areas of work. And then those who are dealing with health, I think we agree with Comrade Okwan on one thing, that sport is very important tool to ensure that we deal with the question of obesity. That's why we are promoting school sport, is precisely because of some of those areas that we must deal with this issue of healthy living. And of course, I think we all agree also that the whole issue of abuse of alcohol is a bigger problem. And I thought that all of us, we are drinking. I'm surprised now it's only 35% who are really abusing.
Not the mineral water. Only mineral water.
And then I thought that you know, sometimes we project it that the entire country is a country of drunkards, you know. When there are very few individuals who get involved in some of these areas, sometimes you over-exaggerate the problem.
Noisy minority.
And then instead of addressing the real cause of some of this problem, I think we are very helpful that at least you have assisted us to address some of these issues. Mackenzie, don't start drinking. Don't start drinking. And thank you very much for the presentation. We are going to read some of them. I don't... The doctors won't mind really, again, if we call you after we've read everything and have other discussions. Because the committee has visited all our provinces and regions and districts. At least we've got now fair understanding of the problems of sport in many parts of our country. If we come and discuss with you and say that rent a house, why can't you put an open ground somewhere and assist these young men? I think won't revolt if we interact and talk about some of these issues. Those are very important for us. That we can't have young kids really who got all potential, they got no place to play. Just an open, not stadium, I'm not talking about artificial turf, just an open gravel stadium, or even ground in other rural areas. And I think Dr. Mabasa, in fact, because South African general has rural residences, we go to rural areas and urban areas. It's very easy to see what is happening in other areas. I think there will be a lot of villages, Dr. Polkwane, in your place there, that they don't have even an open field. And just an open field for them to exercise and play. Because if we don't do that, we'll be unable really to develop sport in our country. Director General, you and your cousins, you deal with your problems. And then you continue persuading them to understand the impact of the problem. And I think also the health department is here, they will assist us to arrest some of these issues. And then say thank you very much, colleagues. The members, of course, will remain. And, but thank you very much, colleagues, for coming and really very
Chair, on a lighter note, we were tempted to bring some Castle Light and Johnny Walker, but we were told that you must delay.
Sponsorship is not a harm.